Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Keynote by CNBC Events. I'm Tyler Matheson. On this podcast, we bring you in-depth, candid conversations with executives, experts, and thought leaders. As Generation X, those born between 1965 and 1980, nears age 60, a startling report from the National Institute on Retirement Security found that most Gen X households are far from financially prepared to retire. So why is this population so unprepared, and what can they still do to right the ship? We asked two experts, Lizetta Braxton, a financial advisor and co-CEO of 2050 Wealth Partners, and Dan Doonan, executive director of the National Institute on Retirement Security. They spoke with my colleague Sharon Epperson at CNBC's Financial Advisor Summit event on October 12, 2023. Here's their conversation.
Let's get started just talking about this forgotten generation, Dan. The National Institute of Retirement Security had a recent report where they found out the 64 million Americans that are in Generation X, those who are in their 40s and 50s, they've actually, the typical household has only saved $40,000 for retirement. And even though high earners, the average balance in their accounts was about $250,000. That's not a lot of money to retire. What's going on here?
Yeah, so, you know, we see this in access to retirement plans more generally. We have about a half of workers participating in a workplace retirement plan. And this has been a stubbornly low participation rate for a long time. So if you think about the median household and you have about a half of workers not participating in a plan at work, you know, we always see pretty low medians when we look at retirement data like this. When you look at averages, this gets considerably better. But of course, we know that a lot of the wealth is concentrated at the top. So averages always look much higher than medians. But, you know, having about half of households rolling into and towards retirement, $40,000 is a lot of money. It's not in terms of creating income for, you know, 30 to 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the high earners, though, you know, that have $250,000, Dan, I'm just wondering, in that case, is that mostly workplace plan money? Is that on their own? How are higher earners, again, able to have on average that amount, which still may not be nearly enough to retire?
Yeah, it is a mix. There's IRA dollars, there's workplace plans there. But, you know, when you think everything in our retirement infrastructure sort of tilts towards the top, right? If you're making more money, it's easier to save. The tax incentives of putting into a tax-protected account are worth more. And, you know, you're less likely to need to pull money out and have that leakage mid-career. So, you know, for a relatively small subset of Americans, percentage-wise, the retirement system, huge incentives to save, you know, really on track. But when we think about retirement preparation, we worry about the large numbers of people that really aren't on track. And what are the implications, given that, you know, America is what they call the graying of America, right? We are getting older. We're going to have more seniors relative to workers and children in the future as we have longer lives and lower birth rates. So in our mind, this whole retirement endeavor is going to work better if we get people on track saving much earlier.
Lizetta, a lot of folks are contributing to their workplace retirement plan, at least a lot of your clients, probably all of your clients, and many of the financial advisors here. But the issue is that when clients come to you in their 40s and 50s, are they often dismayed that their vision about where they would be at that age is nowhere where they are financially? And what kind of impact could that possibly have on their retirement future?
We always want to honor how our clients feel and acknowledge if they indeed feel like they're behind. And what we dig into is to figure out the why they feel behind. Is it because they're comparing themselves to someone else? Did they have goals that were realistic or unrealistic based on the decisions they've made in their journey? And another key is when they engage financial planning. So some of our clients, yes, they do start engaging financial planning in their 40s. Thank goodness we have some clients who are engaging younger. But if they're coming to us a little later in life, we just put everything on the table, let them really see what their journey has been, let them come to terms with that so that we can move forward in a way that's realistic and holistic as well, too.
What do you find has derailed some of your clients who may be in their 40s and 50s in terms of their retirement savings? They anticipated having more than they have now. Is it market volatility? Is it habits that they may have had? What are some of the reasons?
Let's think about 40s and 50s. You have talked about us, Gen Xers. So if I just kind of think about my journey along with the clients who are also Gen Xers, we're considered the sandwich generation for a reason. We have two generations ahead of us, and that's baby boomers and the silent generation. And we have two generations that are in the workforce behind us. That's millennials and also Gen Zers. So what we find ourselves, particularly for those who may be a first generation, and there are a lot of people in that category where they're actually supporting the generations ahead of them and also building, expanding their family, which requires resources for the generations behind them. So if you just think about where we are in our life cycle, yes, indeed, we are in our higher earning years and our responsibilities have increased accordingly. The other factor is many of us have changed jobs over time and may even had to relocate. And so keeping that continuity of your rhythm when you're changing locations, which may also include an increase in cost of living based on where your job is. Thank goodness now things have changed where you can work remotely, but that wasn't the case when we were building our careers as Gen Xers. So life has just happened and the responsibility, particularly financial responsibilities, have increased as well too, as we're trying to align our jobs and our incomes and where we live with our lifestyle.
Absolutely. There's so many factors competing here. But one thing you brought up, Lizetta, that I think is important to point out, and Dan, you all have may have done some research in this area, is looking at first generation savers, workers, and where they are in terms of their retirement. There are some stark differences, I know, from your studies on gender and race and where people are with their retirement savings. What do financial advisors need to know about this to be informed as they try to attract and retain clients?
So I think, you know, it's important to think about, you know, people do come from a different place, right? Some people have parents that are very financially knowledgeable. You know, we're really thinking about in terms of just building systems, having systems so people, you know, start saving and they have money building up so that when they do engage with a financial advisor, you know, say if that's in the 40s, that is too late to start. This whole endeavor is much more efficient if we have user-friendly programs where people either default in or it's really easy to get in and, you know, build those resources so then when they do sit down and have these conversations, it's really a much more positive conversation. And there's not big surprises in terms of what do I have and what does that mean for retirement income and being able to retire.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Dan, you talked earlier about so many people not having access to a workplace retirement plan or a retirement plan through their employer. If they are their employer, if they're self-employed or they run a small business, are they taking advantage of the many tools that are out there to save for retirement that may even allow them to save greater amounts for retirement? How is that working? What does your data show?
So workplace plans for self-employed individuals, there's not a high share of self-employed people in a plan, but we do see some of the plans for self-employed people actually have large amounts, right? So it's a small number that are doing this, but there's a lot of businesses, and really when you think about the gaps in a retirement coverage, small business is a really tricky spot in terms of getting those employer plans, and that includes self-employed individuals. So, you know, larger companies tend to offer some retirement benefits. They tend to be thoughtful, put resources into that. When you think about smaller companies that are just starting out, trying to keep the lights on, we see coverage is much weaker there. But certainly some self-employed individuals are doing better. So we do sometimes see large amounts in the plans that do exist.
Lizetta, you're a small business owner, and I know many of your clients are as well. How do you impress upon them the importance of saving for themselves, saving for their own retirement, as they're trying to build and grow the business? Because often entrepreneurs and startup founders say that's what has really curtailed their savings. They're trying to put their money into their business. What do you tell them?
I tell them that it's the same structure as building your household, because I look at the individual as a business in itself. So let's make the parallels. If you are also saying you have competing interests as a household between, you know, caring for family, your lifestyle, the travel, you have those same trade-offs in your business. And one of the essential parts of that is retirement, whether it is you working for someone else or yourself. We really enjoy having the solo K option for our clients who may have a side gig or even those who are just getting started and they haven't had any employees yet. Because that does give you the opportunity when that cash flow is presenting itself to contribute as one, the employee, and also as the employer. So yes, those figures can be kind of significant. We're talking close in the 60,000. But what we do is put it on the table so they can expire and bake this number into their goal setting. So in the beginning, yes, it's tough. It is absolutely tough to set aside money for retirement. And the goal is to do it in increments so that as your business is growing, because we're working very closely with our clients to make sure their P&L, their profit and loss, is the same as their budget, their lifestyle plan, where we're working towards that line item and shifting those dollars as they become available.
You also talked earlier about first generation savers. And one thing that I wanted to bring up for those savers and for many people who are rising up the ranks in their companies and looking for and being offered other ways to save for the long term, whether it's restricted stock units, stock options, other things that they may not be familiar with and prior generations to them didn't even think about. How do you encourage them to take advantage of that along with some of the traditional retirement savings tools that we're talking about?
Education, education, education. We do a lot of presentations so they can know what are the vehicles available, and we're talking about investments, so I'll hone in on that, that, like you said, are available to them. So we start with employee benefits, because for most first gen, that's where your wealth is going to begin in terms of what your employer offers to you and understanding what's available. So there are also deferred compensation plans that certainly helps out in that retirement bucket. And we also help our clients with taxable accounts. The tax benefits in retirement when it comes to also having a taxable account is a great way to diversify your retirement portfolio. You are so right in terms of the conversation of what you don't know. And so we're grateful that our clients trust us enough to not judge them, to say, we know that you haven't had exposure to this. This is our job. And let's see what best aligns with your interest and what's available to you.
One of the things that's so important is that I think for advisors to do when they can is to share some of their personal story. So I was just curious, because you've been very active on social media about the retirement journey of your parents who are newly retired. How did you ensure that they were financially secure enough to do it, probably earlier than they had expected?
Yeah, so it is one of those, when you say young people don't think about retirement. Well, as a young person, I thought about retirement, but it wasn't for me. It was for my parents. They are high school sweethearts, have celebrated 50 years of marriage this year, and they retired about a couple of years ago. And so we have been planning together since, I think, high school, in terms of they becoming my why. And as a kind of first-gen real saver, I was working with them as I was working with myself and my husband in terms of building our own wealth. And the key was having conversations and putting everything on the table along the way and bringing the expertise that I have, being very concentrated in financial planning. So I remember the moments when we refinanced their debt and paid off, you know, their mortgage. I remember the times we were thinking about my brother in terms of, you know, him being 12 years younger, about his college savings and the parental loans and the like. I remember our conversations about long-term care and the like, and conversations about when they want to retire and making sure they had their retirement car so they didn't have to bring in any debt into retirement. And so now they have their travel budget, so we can travel together now that I am a bird launcher, empty nester, and they're having fun doing what they want to do and making money on the side if they want to. So it's been a long project. It's been about 3 decades. And so I want to encourage people to really think ahead, that it is actually year by year, step by step, that really makes a plan come to work.
Excellent, excellent. And Dan, we have talked about so many doom and gloom numbers in terms of where people are with their retirement savings, particularly those in their 40s and 50s. Are there any stats from your reports that you think bring some hope into the retirement situation for folks who are Gen Xers?
Well, obviously, it's never too late to get started and to make progress. I think broadly, when we look at retirement systems, we are seeing movement in the right direction. So we're seeing more auto enrollment, more auto escalation. We're seeing defaults set at savings levels that are more realistic. I think in the past, we were afraid to have a default level with a significant contribution. It might be 3%. Maybe there's a match. And default investments, you know, we're now feeling safe about offering lifetime income. If I'm 25 years old, I don't need to be in a super safe investment. But I think legally, years ago, we were doing that because legally we didn't want to be putting people into something with risk. But I think the industry has moved on and recognized, and the legal constructs have changed enough that, you know, the systems that exist are looking more user-friendly. Defaults options are a good decision, and I see that as a positive. The real problem in our mind is there's still far too many people left out of those systems, and we are seeing some states stepping up and saying, like, if you're working and your employer doesn't offer a plan, we're going to automatically start you on a path towards saving. And the people in that situation tend to be pretty low income. But we also know that there's a significant number of Americans that say they can't handle a $400 surprise expense. And if you think about building some wealth, this could be really promising in terms of helping people. And frankly, getting people started earlier. So like we said earlier, so that when they do have that conversation with an advisor someday, they'll have something more that they're bringing to that table.
That was Dan Doonan and Lizetta Braxton. They joined us at CNBC's Financial Advisor Summit on October 12th, 2023. Keynote is produced by the CNBC Events team, and if you enjoyed this conversation, please share with your friends. You can visit cnbcevents.com to learn about upcoming events and how you can join us. We'd love to have you there. I'm Tyler Matheson. Thanks for listening.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.